Thanks so much for joining us online today. We're always encouraged to hear stories of how lives are being changed by the message of grace all around the world from what we do right here in Longwood, Florida. So if you have a story you'd like to share with us, please send it to stories@graceorlando.com. If you'd like to support the mission and the ministry of Grace Church, you can give conveniently online at graceorlando.com. Thanks so much again for joining us today.
Well, Daddy, thank you for laughter. Thank you that you love when we laugh. You love our souls to be light-hearted and for us to live free. So thank you for that. I thank you not only for that truth, but also for the awareness that it is your desire and that it's a lie of the enemy that we should feel the weight of the world. It's a lie of the enemy that we should feel depravity or feel fear or feel just despair. Yes, there are those seasons where someone might walk through something light and momentary, or where the spirit, your spirit in us, may stir us to emotions that are not just lighthearted. But I thank you, your kingdom is freedom and light and not darkness and heavy. So thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. And that's a little bit what we were talking about last week and where we're going to pick up this week. We said that I closed by saying, how about the key? So we talked about being free and free indeed, and the idea that comes, that verse that says, he who sets free is free indeed. It's in John 4, I think, 4. Anyone want to beat me to it? Doesn't matter. It's okay. John 8, thank you, yes. Yes, people are quoting it for those who can't hear it on the recording. So first of all, John 8:32, it's know the truth and the truth shall set you free, right? And then it goes on to say, they who are free indeed. Like he puts an exclamation point on it. It's done. It's finished. He said, it is finished. And that's what he meant, right? When he was on the cross and said, it is finished. For those of us that say yes and believe on him, he comes in, we're set free, free indeed, okay? It opens up prior to 8:32, though, saying those who follow my word. And we talked about the fact that, oh, there we go. I'm sure to screw that up. I don't do it enough. I don't remember, you know, I don't memorize scriptures like everyone else. So whatever it is, the enemy starts to creep in with lies. And he starts to say, or starts to get us questioning, am I doing it right? I must be missing the mark. The definition of sin, to miss the mark. I'm a sinner. And then we get refreshed by, oh, but I'm saved by grace. And so you get through that day until the next day when the enemy sneaks in and lies. That's not the truth, right? So we went to Colossians 1, 26, 27, where Paul is saying, I have the privilege of teaching the word of God. And he says, that is to say, I know this is a review, but he says, that is to say, and he goes on to talk about this mystery of Christ living in us, the hope of glory. That's the word he's talking about. Now I realize that we're told this is the word, the entire book, it is. And so we pointed out that the word was in the beginning. Christ is the word. So when Paul's talking about what he was preaching when it was the word, anything and everything in here is about the fact that Christ lives in you. It's oneness between us. It's the pursuit of the creator of all things for relationship with one type of being, the being made in his own image, you. It's all, really? This whole book is about me? How narcissistic. No, it really is about you and only you. And you and only you. And, right, which defies logic. How could it be only about one, we said? So we said, okay, great, freedom. But let's talk, we closed by saying we'll look at some keys. And I realized that was a little misleading. So instead, I would title it as not the key to freedom. Obviously, Jesus is the key to freedom. He's also the key to living and staying free. So when I say we're going to look at a key to stay free, all I mean is some keys that unlock lies of the enemy that would have us forget that we're free. So just for fun, let's, if you want to look, flip over. If not, I'll read for you Galatians. We'll start in 3, chapter 3. I'm going to do it. Yeah, I'll do it here. Just means I have to take these off. So here in Galatians, and you're probably aware, but if you're not, Galatians is an amazingly fun and affirming and freeing book in the Bible, because Paul is speaking to believers and he's saying to them, what happened? People who received, do you remember? For not the day you got saved. I know some people remember the date and the hour and the time, which is cool, but do you remember when it really triggered? Wow, something's different. That feeling, that knowing, I'm free. There's just something amazing. And he's talking to people who had that same encounter you did. Well, not exactly. Who had that same encounter you did, sorry. And at the same time started to practice the same laws they were set free from, started to come under performance, started to come under behavior. So that's the setting we find ourselves in. Paul is talking to the side of David and the side of you, perhaps, that sometimes the word Paul uses is fall from this favor that is yours, this unmerited favor, and turn instead to something you can understand and control. The unmerited favor, isn't it hard to understand and control sometimes? Certainly it's impossible to control. It's not from us. But it's even hard to fathom. So it becomes easier to take back self-control, self-righteousness, and focus on what you do right or what you're not doing right or what someone else seems to do better than you. Or not even like what you see when you look in the mirror, which I would suggest to you, just because this isn't spiritual, that's another way the enemy creeps in, is to have us, we interact with the natural world, we're citizens of the kingdom of heaven, but we dwell here, right? And so it does matter. There are things that you are aware of that, while they're not directly related to spiritual, if I start to be concerned about the things of this world in out of balance, then it's a way for the enemy to get me not celebrating the unmerited, unlimited, never ceasing favor and goodness and love of God that is on me. So Galatians 3:1 says, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law?" Pause for emphasis. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law? Did anyone get saved, get set free because you did, kept every single solitary requirement of the law to perfection? Nobody? Okay, so that means the alternative is you received it. Well, let's see where he goes. Thank you. I'm looking under the glasses. By the Spirit of the works of the law, or by hearing with faith. That was it. It was hearing by faith. "Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh?" Perfected, sanctified, the whole mixture gospel that is dwelling in the Western civilization says that, yes, we got saved by Jesus, but we're working out our sanctification. We're working towards our completed being that will come when the by and by returns. And it's this process. I'm working out my salvation. We were sanctified by him, by faith, when he said, it is finished, did he mean that we are saved once and for all once we believe? Yes. Yes, your face wasn't congruent. You caught me by surprise. You went, yes, but your face was like, no. It was my misread, sorry. He was backing me up. He went, yes. I went, yes or no? But also in Hebrews it says, we are holy as he is holy. It didn't say we are becoming holy. Sanctification and holiness, set apartness. The word holy also means set apart. When you said yes to Christ, which you're set apart. You're part of the kingdom, right? So, did you suffer so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain, so then does he who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by the works of the law or hearing by faith? I want to see. So I wanted 1 through 5. We did 1 through 5. Good. Now we're going to skip to 10 through 13. Okay. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. So pause. Those who are living under the works of the law, which I was, are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. So when I was under the law, I can even say it with more gravity in that I was born Jewish, raised Jewish, bar mitzvahed. In theory, there was laws that we were to follow. I had Orthodox friends who they turned their lights on, their stove on low. Anything that used power, they had to turn on before sundown Friday so that they could use it until sundown Saturday. So they weren't using power because it was already on. My wife, I'm just telling the truth. And my wife grew up Orthodox, so knows that to be true, having lived it. Yes. You're kidding. Wow. Okay, so I didn't get the mic to you, but just so the those on video can hear, someone who had been in Israel said that the lifts, because I doubt they call them elevators there since it's that side of the world, but the elevators, the lifts, are programmed to stop on every single floor no matter what, just on Saturday, on the Sabbath, because they're not allowed to push the button. That would be work. That would be breaking the law. Yeah. Someone just said it. Someone said, too bad if you live on the 40th floor. So, but you get it, the twisting, how man can twist. Yes, sir.
Somebody can explain that in the 40th floor.
Why that's bad? Because you have to stop on the 39 floors before it to get there. Because all the buttons are pre-pushed. The question was, why would 40th floor be bad? I love your attitude is, it's the best view. Yeah, but on Saturdays, you got 39 floors you got to get through before you go. All of a sudden, the stick of butter or the half and half you needed isn't worth it. But you can't get it anyway, because if you go to the store, you're making the person who works there work to sell you the half and half. But that's okay. No, it stops no matter what. It stops no matter what. Yeah, it stops no matter what. So the point is, you get the curse of even having to be in control of figuring out, did I do enough? Did I follow the law close enough? But what it does say is, those who are under the law, if you break even one of these, the penalty is what? Death. And they lived under death. Yeah. So I think from a spiritual perspective, don't we see we lived dead before we knew this life? We were just the walking dead. We were the zombies. This whole affinity for zombie stuff now in the apocalypse. I just think there's a spiritual awakening growing more and more on the earth. And usually the younger generation's in tune to it. And they're like, I don't want to be like the walking dead. Don't bite me, you adult. Is that how zombies do it? They bite you? How to become a zombie? I don't know all the zombie rules. But then you turn into a zombie, right? Well, it's like the kids are like, no, I don't want to cross over and be like them, the walking dead, that get up, pour their coffee, can't live without it, go to work, do their job, judge other people but pretend they don't, judge themselves when they look in the mirror, feel less than, right? And then come back and find some hope and show up on Sunday to clean themselves off and go back out and do it again, walking dead, you know? So
I'd like to remind everybody that even the Jewish law had a day of atonement of which they brought their sacrifices and the scapegoat.
Wiped clean.
And then you started all over again.
Day of Atonement, I feel good. Day one.
And you hope
day
you didn't two,
three. Yes, right, exactly. He was saying just that on the Day of Atonement, you got wiped clean, scapegoat, all your sins get put on the scapegoat, they kill the goat, and then you hope you don't die between then and the next year of atonement, because the second the goat died, you thought something that was sin, and therefore you were, and you broke the law, and you were back under death. So
that's where the word comes from?
Scapegoat, yes, sir. That's where it comes from. It is indeed. The question was, is that where the word scapegoat comes from? And yes, it is. So back in Galatians 10, so it says, under the curse, curses everyone that does not abide by things written in the book of the law to perform them. Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident. We get this. We just beat it to death and used up time we couldn't afford for our class today. For the righteous man shall live by faith. However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. He took my curse. He took my doubts, my fears, my sin, my shame upon himself and went up and said, judge, guilty, and paid the price so that the judge now looks and says, you are free to go, my son. Live freely and enjoy all that I have created for you. Once and for all, right? So however, we all want to talk about, or I suggested opening that let's look at some of the things that try to block that, try to prevent us from remembering that. So now I'm going to skip to Galatians 23 through 26. Doing a lot of scripture today. But before faith came, we were kept in custody under the law, being shut up to the faith which was later to be revealed. Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ so that we may be justified by faith. Is that sinking in? Right? It was there as a tutor, but now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. I want to set this up and build this because we're going to look at something that the enemy would try and use to bring you back under performance. It's something that we can do to enjoy our free life. But when we go to it, I wanted to make sure that no one goes, that's a problemed area for me, I'm doomed. I better figure this one out. I better discipline myself to not do this. Before we get there, it is not you that can that set you free, so it is not you that can mess it up. It is not you that set you free. You are not powerful enough to undo what he has done. You can choose not to enjoy. Okay, so now to put that into perspective, let's flip over real quick to Galatians 4:1. I love this. Now I say, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ from at all from a slave, although he is the owner of everything. So picture it, mansion. It's hard for us to even imagine in times of royalty. You're a son or daughter of the king. You own everything and all the servants and all of it is yours. But as a child, there's servants assigned to tell you when to bathe and bathe you, when to eat and feed you. But nevertheless, they tell you what to do and what not to do, where to go, where not to go, when to go to bed, so on and so forth. So you're under guardians, goes on to say, does not differ at all from a slave, although he's owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by the father. So also we, while we were children, were held in bondage under the elemental things of the world. So we were literally under those things. We still were intended children of God. He wants not one to be lost, but for us to be free from judgment, all we have to do is say yes and believe on him. Even if it doesn't make sense, it comes in and then we're free. But what was just pointed out is it is possible to still live like a slave, right? So now let's go to Ephesians 4. And first of all, I'd like to read it out of the, I'll just change it here, NASB. So we're going to 4. Actually, I'm going to start at 4:17, and then I'm going to just read for a while, and then we'll come back to where we're headed here. So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind. Anyone remember living in the futility of your mind? Anyone still have remnant of futility in your mind? Okay. We'll get to that. Of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, those few things that were just stated, are not written to you. You're not part of them. It says that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind. They are darkened in their understanding. They are excluded from the life of God. They, because of their ignorance, because of the hardness of their heart. Your heart is forever not hard, no matter how hard it feels. You believed on him. You can't undo it. You may be fearful. There may be a lie trying to say, but he might be wrong. I might be one. Maybe I didn't really believe on him. That question wouldn't exist if you didn't believe on him. That is the Spirit of God convicting you of your righteousness. You are right with God. That's why the Spirit exists. The Spirit is in you. And don't grieve the Holy Spirit. It goes on to say, in one of the scriptures we read earlier, we just didn't go that far. If the Spirit's intention is for you to know you're right with the Creator of all things, and you choose to fall from grace and try and make yourself right, can you imagine the Spirit being grieved? You don't grieve the Spirit when you sin. You grieve the Spirit when you forget that your sins are covered. You don't grieve the Spirit when you think judgmental thoughts, bad thoughts, do silly things, whatever. He's like, that's why I'm here. I got your back. And remind you of your righteousness. But he is saying, so don't be like that. So we all agreed we have remnants of the mind of futility, but that's the old man. So watch where he goes. But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. First of all, there was an old self. There is no lie. There was. There was an old David. That old man is dead. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, the life I live by faith in the Son of God who died and gave his life for me, blah, blah, blah. I have been crucified with Christ, it says. The old man is dead. And then in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it talks about the old has passed away. Behold, all things are made new. We are a new creation. So there was an old man, David. My brain is a physical piece of flesh. And it has memories. My spirit is new. My soul is under the dominance of my spirit. My soul is meant to live new. It's my mind, not my brain, my mind, my will, and my emotion is your soul. So my soul has a choice to be led by the spirit and the new creation, which is who I am, or it can remember. There are brain synapses that say, up, and want me to do what? So in the 6 minutes we have left, the key. If we go on further down, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. You have made in the likeness of God, in righteousness, in holiness. There's a period at the end of that sentence. Hallelujah. Therefore, laying aside, and this is where we are. Here comes the key. Laying aside falsehood. Yes, I'm pausing to make eye contact with everyone in the room. Laying aside. Some of you didn't look up. Okay, well, there's two more. Stan. Laying aside. I want all of us to be dialed in. Therefore, I wasn't calling. When I called Stan, for those, I wasn't saying Stan had falsehood. I wanted to make sure I had eye contact with everyone. So we all can join in this together. Speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Speak truth. I love God. That's not the truth that sets me free. It's the truth that set me free. Here, it's talking about falsehood. The opposite of falsehood is speak truth. I'm scared. I'm tired. I'm lonely. I want a new car and I don't have one. I want this sickness to be gone and I don't know what to do about it. I don't know why I'm not satisfied. I should be. I am 98% of the time, but the 2% of the time still stinks. Okay, guess what? Bring it into the light. Stop hiding it. Okay, so let's get real and see what he actually says. Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. I am not guaranteeing what I'm about to say is correct. It's Rhema, it's revelation for me. God wanted me to know. So I'm not saying this is 1,000% scripturally accurate. But when it says, do not sin for me, when I hide from getting angry, the sin for me that he was pointing out is when you hide the anger, you fall from grace and you choose to be self-righteous and take the Christian high road, and that's sin. That's missing the mark. So instead, be angry. But by the way, don't go to bed on your anger. Meaning, don't let it last. It's toxic. It causes sickness. So does hiding it, though. So getting the anger out, staying angry causes sickness. Staying hiding can cause sickness. Either of the soul and therefore your soul-spirit connection, or physically, biochemically. So be angry. Be depressed. Feel the sadness. Feel the feeling and go, okay, this doesn't align with his truth, but I'm not going to hide it. In James, just in case you want to know instead of having to look it up, in James 5:16, it says, confess your sins one to another. Not so you can be saved. You're already saved. Confess your sins one to another so that you may be healed. Come on. So I invite you with all authority, an invitation from the creator of all things to be aware, to choose maybe to keep a little notepad with you for a week. And every time there's a feeling that you don't like, that you go into a pattern of avoiding, stop and go, wait, what was I feeling? What was it? Let me find a word for it. And if you can't, be honest. Man, it's going to be harder. And just go, I don't even know what the heck I'm feeling. It may only surface as anger, but the truth is there's something underneath it. Whatever, fine. And go to a brother and go, and just start talking. You just got to get it out. Free talk, it won't make sense. You just got to, it's got to be okay to make no sense for this, for your soul to really get a chance to communicate through this fleshly mouth and fleshly brain that's trying to block the thing that's so scary. Because if I admit I'm weak, I'll die. That's what you were told. So there's all kinds of resistance of the old man trying to stop, but you are a new creation. If you'll just get it out, it goes, that was nothing. It has no power. Amen. And you live free indeed. So thank you, Father, that I'm actually praying a minute before over instead of a minute after. And thank you for the truth that we are all meant to live in the light, not in hiding. You don't put a lamp under a basket. You don't put it under in the basement. You let it shine on all to see. So thank you for freedom. Thank you for you, your word, you and us, the hope of glory. You rock, God. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, thank you.